Good evening, everybody. So now is the season of a lot of people from our shul and around the world going away on vacation. And many of those vacations, people have told me, are on the cruises and to different parts of the world, staying in hotels. So I thought this was the appropriate time to have a little bit of a discussion about the very much halacha lemaisa aspect of Erev Chatzeros. So we definitely cannot do everything in 1 week. So it'll probably be 2 or 3 weeks in a row. So hang in there. Hold on tight. So let's begin. Already. You have to listen. Yeah. So we'll try to do as much of the halacha tonight as we can, and whatever we have left we'll do next week or the next week. Tonight's year is going to be very much halacha lemaisa oriented, straight out of Shulchan Aruch, which is, these halachas are found in Chelek Dalet in Shulchan Aruch, which is Hilchos Erevin. So the Shulchan Aruch says in Simen Shin Samach Vav, Sif Yud Gimel, Mitzvah Lachzor Achar Erev Chatzeros. It's a mitzvah for a person to be careful to try as much as he can to make an Erev Chatzeros in a place where it is appropriate to make one. Kedei Shelo Yavo Acherim L'Taltel V'Isser. In order that others should not make the mistake and carry outside Be'isr. So this is something why we give it special significance, is because the Shulchan Aruch tells us that there is a special mitzvah to make sure that I have the required Erev Chatzeros in place and to make sure it's done properly. So let's just begin by way of introduction with a few introductory points. Number one, there are three different types of Erev that we find in Dinim, between Dinim D'Oraisa and Dinim D'Rabbanan. We find three types of Erevin. One is an Erev Chatzeros. What is an Erev Chatzeros? It means, but we'll talk a little bit more in detail in a minute, but basically, in order to put together a whole group of people that are living near each other, in order for me to be allowed to carry into your house, in order for one family to be mishtamish in the other family's house, so you need to make an Erev Chatzeros, which we'll get into in a couple of minutes, exactly where this is applicable. Number two, the Erev we have is an Erev Tavshilin. And an Erev Tavshilin, as many of us know, is when Yontif falls out right before Shabbos. So we have to make an Erev Tavshilin, which allows us to cook on Yontif for the purpose of Shabbos. The Machlokes is in the Gemara exactly what the Erev Tavshilin is for. Is it L'Kavod Shabbos or is it L'Kavod Yontif? And the third Erev that we find is an Erev Tchumen. We know that everybody only has 2,000 Amos outside of a city on Shabbos. So what if I want to go hear a drasha in a certain part right outside of my city, but it's too far, it's out of my 2,000 amas? So the Gemara tells us that there's such a concept as an Erev Tchumen, that a person could put down his food, and by putting down his food, that will be Koveya, his Makom. Although my Iker Kviyas Makom is in my house, that's the place where I live, my Makom Dira, yet if I put down some food, that will, person always loves food, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, therefore his food is a Kviyas Makom for him as well. So that's with regard to the Erev Tchumen. It's important to continue to look back at all three of these Erevin. We're going to compare and contrast in different contexts when it comes to the halachas of all three. Are they similar? Are they different? And what are the differences are very important to be pointed out as we go along. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Simen Shin Samach Vav Sifkat Yud Dalid that if a person, let's say, is making two Erevin at once, for example, you have a situation, how do you ever make two Erevin at once? Erev Tchumen, Erev Chatzeros, and Erev Tavshilin. Okay, it can happen. So, for example, a person is holding by a 3-day yontif, and he has to make an Erev Chatzeros with all his neighbors, and he also has to make an Erev Tavshilin. So on all three of these, you make a bracha al mitzvahs Erev. So says the Mishnah Berurah, what if I'm making two at the same time? Mishnah Berurah points out, a person can make a bracha al mitzvahs Erevin. Al mitzvahs Erevin, that's what he says. I had a further suffix. We find in Berchas HaGomel that there are four people, Arbat Srichim Nahodos, there are four people who have to make a Berchas HaGomel. All four of them, although they each have a different mechayev, this one benches because he got out of jail, that one says because he was a cholosh anis rapid, this one flew over an ocean, whatever it is, but lemaisa, they all make the same bracha. So Rabbi Kiva Eger over there in Arachayim, Simen Reishiyu Tes, has a suffix. What if I was a cholosh anis rapid, and you got out of jail? So am I allowed to be motzi you in the Berchas HaGoma? We're making the same nusach HaBracha, but we're making for two different reasons. So it's a suffix in Rabbi Kiva Eger, can one person be motzi the other one in Berchas HaGomel when they're making it for two different reasons? There are two different mechayvim. So that's the suffix Rabbi Kiva Eger has. So I thought, Mistam over here should be the same suffix. If let's say you're making an Erev Tavshilin and I'm making an Erev Chatzeros, would I be allowed to make a bracha for you, al mitzvah Erev? That should probably be along the same lines of Rabbi Kiva Eger's thinking, that it's not, so it's the same shayla, Mistam. It's the same Shabbos and Achanami, but we have two different mechayvim.
It's a long the same lines. Yisurim for Shabbos.
Uh-huh. Could be. Could be. Right. Right. He's saying over here it's a totally separate mechayiv. In fact, I just saw that tonight, right before I came, I just saw that some Acharonim have some difficulty with this Mishnah Berurah, and they think you can't just take Erev Chatzeres, Erev Tavshil, and throw everything into one bracha and say Al Mitzvah Erevin. We don't say that a person in the morning could get up by Birchas HaShachar and say Baruch Atah Hashem Lekein Melech Olam Shalos Ani Goy Isha Eved. You can't say all these together. You have to say each one separately. So they question this premise of the Mishnah Berurah in the first place, why I would be allowed to put both brachas together. Yeah. You could.
Why are you only picking two?
I was picking two because I think it's probably less likely that I'm going to be making an Erev Truman. I'm going to be standing out there making my Erev Truman out where I'm putting down the food, and then I have to go home and make my Erev Tavshilin. So I have to make the bracha at the same time. So that's why I picked two, because probably Erev Chatzeres and Erev Tavshilin both happen in the kitchen. They're both happening in the same place. Erev Truman is probably not so likely. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Erevin, he's the one who made up this bracha on the Erev Truman and Erev Chatzeres. He's the one who says, they make a bracha, Asher Kedushanu Mitzvos V'Tzivanu Al Mitzvos Erev. And right over there on the spot, the Ravid is Masik, he says, what do you mean? Al Mitzvos Erev, you're going to make a bracha? What mitzvah is there to make an Erev Truman? Who told you that on Shabbos you have to go out of the city more than 2,000 amas? That's a mitzvah? You say, Asher Kedushanu Mitzvos V'Tzivanu, there is no mitzvah. So what would you answer? What? You're going for a shir. Okay, so that is a mitzvah. Let's say I'm going to shmooze with my friends. I'm making an Erev Truman to go shmooze with my friends. So frek derived on the Rambam, you're going to tell me you make a bracha, sherka desham mitzvah tzivanu, this is a big mitzvah? What's the big mitzvah involved here? So that's the Ravid's kasha. So, l'chaira, the Ravid is a little bit hard to understand because we make a bracha on shchita, right? What's the big mitzvah to shech? So don't eat meat. So it's the same over here. What's the big mitzvah to go make an Erev Truman? What do you mean? We do make brachas on matir. Shchita is something that we do make a bracha on. So I saw that the Tzafnas Paneach, the Rugged Shaver, has a very beautiful chiddush over here. He explains as follows. He says, we do make a bracha on a matir. When a person takes a davar ha'asr and makes it totally into a davar ha'mutter, and he gets rid of the isr from the world, we do recite a bracha like v'shchita, al mitzvah shchita. However, he says, we do find other cases where you don't make a bracha. For example, salting the meat. So what am I doing? I'm taking the blood out of the meat. No, so now I'm being matir the meat. So why don't you make a bracha?
Yeah, but you can eat the meat without doing that. You can just even pick up a piece of meat and eat it. As long as the meat is there, it's inside.
As long as the blood is inside. So something. So let's say liver, right? So liver is full of dam, you have to salt it. Right? So why don't I make a bracha on the salting? Now the salt is going to take out, it's going to... What?
Or you broil it.
Whatever you do. But lamaisa... What? We assume not. Also, let's say nikra chalef, right? We have to take out the giran nasha or the chalef. What? Right, so everybody agrees that you have to do that. So why is it that we don't make a bracha? We make a bracha on the shechita. So the Rugged Shaver points out the following. He says, the only time we make a bracha on a matir is when you're getting rid of the iser. For example, shechita. There used to be a davar asr that was called an animal. I wasn't allowed to eat it because of either Evermen Achai or whatever you're going to say, enes bucha, machlekes and toises. But bottom line, I wasn't allowed to eat this animal. Now, once I did the act of shechita, the iser is no longer in the world. That's a matir. However, he says, when I'm salting the meat, the blood is still here. When I take out the chelev, or I take out the gid, it's still here. It's still usser. I just happen to have separated it, but it's still usser. It's in front of us. So he says, on that, we don't make a bracha. So he tines, that's what the Raivin means over here as well. You didn't take away an iser here. It's still usser for you to walk out of 2,000 amas. You just moved yourself, you just moved your makom dira, used to be over here, and now you moved it to over there. But the iser is still here. So that's the way the Rugged Shaver explains the Ravid's hasaga on the Rambam. The Ravid's problem is that the only time we make a bracha on a matir is when you got rid of the whole iser, like a shechita. There used to be an iser. Once I do the shechita, the iser is gone, totally from the world. However, when I have a situation, let's say by taking out the chela, taking out the gid, when I'm not actually getting rid of the iser, I'm just moving it aside, so you don't recite a bracha. So, frak the Ravid, the same over here. I'm not getting rid of the iser of Tchumen, it's just that I'm moving my Malkum Dir. So that's parenthetically, that's an interesting thing to think about when we talk about the bracha on the Erev Chatzeros. Something interesting to think about is the Ravid Shita that we don't make a bracha on the Erev Chatzeros or Erev Tchumen. Okay, so now back to our Hakdama when it comes to Erev Chatzeros. So we have a couple of Rishuyas that have to be discussed before we get into the concept of the need for an Erev Chatzeres. So number one, we have a Rishus HaRabim midaraisa. What is the definition of Rosh Hashanah Rabban deraisa? So according to most Rishonim, as we find it in Shulchan Aruch Arachayim, Shin Samach Dalet Sif Beis, a Rosh Hashanah Rabban has to consist of a Rosh Hashanah that's 16 amas wide. You need to have a street that's 16 amas of space in between one building and the next. And number two, there have to be 600,000 people who are passing through this every single day. Which makes it that...
It's got to go from city through the city. Now
through the city. So there are many requirements. But basically the two main requirements that we find is it has to be 16 amas and 600,000 people. So generally we don't have 600,000 people walking down regular streets. Obviously if you live on Broadway, so that's a little bit different because Broadway is Broadway.
You have 16 amas, you got 600,000.
Right, but most regular streets in our neighborhoods do not have 600,000 people and do not have 16 amas across. So, therefore, we really do not generally live in a Rosh Hashanah Rabban Daraisa. If we would live in a Rosh Hashanah Rabban Daraisa, there was a Rav recently who made a big mistake. There was a Rav who was giving a shiur, and someone asked about an Erev. Someone asked, if the Erev falls down on Shabbos, what am I supposed to do?
What?
If the poles fall down on Shabbos, he was talking about a situation where there was a storm and the air falls down on Shabbos. What should I do? So this Rav answered. He was very sharp, so he answered him back. This is Rosh Hashanah deraisa. It's an Isser deraisa. You're not allowed to carry. That's a contradiction in terms. If we lived in a Rosh Hashanah deraisa, you would not be able to make an Erev. It's a mistake. So when you have a Rosh Hashanah deraisa, you cannot make an Erev. The only way to allow one to carry in a Rosh Hashanah deraisa is only if you build walls around the city. And the second requirement that the Shulchan Aruch says is that it's dal sosel ne'ulos balayla, that you have gates in front of the city at the edges of the walls and you lock them at nights. This is actually an enclosed area that we have shlita over, that we have total sovereignty over. So that is called the Rosh Hashanah Rabban, and the only way to allow for carrying in a Rosh Hashanah Rabban deraisa is to have the walls. That's the first Rosh Hashanah we're going to talk about. Then we have something called a Karmelis Midrabanan. Now, what is a Karmelis Midrabanan? So that means that when I have a Rishus, which Midaraisa was not a Rishus Harabim, because it doesn't fulfill the requirements of Rishus Harabim, still the Chacham said there's something called a Karmelis Midrabanan, which is usher for you to carry in, because we still consider it like a quasi-Rishus Harabim. Fine, so that's where we have the institution of making an Erev, as we know it. It's only in a Karmelis Midrabanan. If it was a Rishus Harabim Daraisa, we said, you can't make an Erev. The only way that you can carry an Rosh Hashanah Rabban Daraisa is to build actual walls and have gates in the front. So when you have a Karmelis Midrabanan, which is what we're all living in, because it's not a real Rosh Hashanah Rabban, so then you could put up a Tzuras HaPesach. Then you're allowed to put up the strings with the poles, and that is what we call a general Erev in our terms. Now we have the next level. We have a Rosh Hashanah Rabban Daraisa is one, we have a Karmelis Midrabanan is two, and now the third level underneath that is when I have the Tzuras HaPesach, and I put up the poles and the strings, and now everyone is living in one neighborhood, so now what's the problem? Now it's one Rosh Hashanah Yachid, so what's the issue? Why can't I carry?
Going from one Rosh Hashanah Yachid to another.
So now we have the new Takan of Shlomo HaMelech. That's a third level. The new Takan of Shlomo HaMelech was that inside of a Karmelis that's now Mukaf with an Erev, inside of a Karmelis that now has a Tzuras HaPesach with a string around the whole place, still, Shlomo HaMelech came along and said, you're still not allowed to carry here. Why? Shlomo HaMelech b'chachmaso said in Shabbos Davav that we have to still be concerned that a person's going to make a mistake. Why? Because the average person that's living in the middle of the city does not know about the strings that are all around. They could be 3 miles away from his house. He has no idea that there are strings surrounding the house. So as far as he's concerned, he doesn't know the din. As far as he's concerned, it looks like a Rosh Hashanah Rabban. I'm allowed to carry from my house into his house into someone else's house. So Shlomo HaMelech was concerned that maybe someone's going to make a mistake and think that the same way I'm allowed to carry from my house into your house, once we have a big Tzuras HaPesach surrounding the whole city, so too I'm allowed to carry in a regular Rosh Hashanah Rabban from my house into the street. So therefore, Shlomo HaMelech, since he was concerned, Shlomo HaMelech made a takana that you have to make an Erev Chatzeres. Now what does an Erev Chatzeres mean? So an Erev Chatzeres means that now we are making it as if we all live in one house. And we'll see in a minute how we do that. An Erev Chatzeres means we consider it as if everybody in our community is living in one house, and therefore there's no longer an issue of mistaking a Rosh Hashanah Yachid with another Rosh Hashanah Yachid into a Rosh Hashanah Rabban, because in this situation we're all living together in one house. It's not similar at all to a regular classical Rosh Hashanah Rabban as we know it. Do you want to... There's sheets in the back if anyone sees the extra.
We have an Erev over here. We don't make an Erev Chatzeres if I want to go to my next door neighbor.
Oh, you do. You do make an Erev Chatzeres. So you're asking, why don't you specifically make an Erev Chatzeres, right?
No.
You're wondering how you're ever allowed to carry into your neighbor's property. Answer is, every single neighborhood has an Erev Chatzeres. So we'll talk about this in a second.
Besides
the Erev that you... Okay, this is why we gave this Hakdama. Because besides for the Erev and the Tzuras HaPesach that you need around the whole neighborhood, Shlomo HaMelech came and said there's still a problem. Even though now we're all to consider one Rishus HaYachid, still there is going to be an issue. What?
How did we make an Erev HaTzeres if I didn't contribute anything?
So we're going to get to all these questions very shortly.
That's why you came.
Yeah, this is why we're here.
This is an appeal.
And this is why we're talking about it, because I was asking around the yeshiva, how many people know about Erev Chatzeres?
We have Erev Chatzeres, but I lived in my house early, not here, but back in Williamsburg, because of three families, we shared a common basement, they only get from one house to the other, so we made an Erev Chatzeres, always Erev Pesach.
Right. Okay, so we're going to talk about all these issues in a minute. So now let's look at a very, very important, very yesodistic... We're going to talk about a very yesodistic Bir Halacha in what is the nature of the need for an Erev Chatzeres. The Bir Halacha has the following suffix, and we'll read it inside in a minute. I just want to make it clear, so let's say it out. Bir Halacha has the following suffix. So now we have our city, which is only a Carmelis Midrabanan, and it was usher to carry it. So we put up a Tzuras HaPesach around the whole city. We put up strings with the poles. Wonderful. Midrabanan, you're allowed to carry. Comes along Shlomo HaMelech, and he says, you're not allowed to carry here. So what did Shlomo HaMelech asser? What Shlomo HaMelech say you're not allowed to do?
Go from Rishus HaYachid to the Carmelis.
Oh, so did Shlomo HaMelech just say you're not allowed to go from the Rishus HaYachid to the Carmelis, which that's a simple way of understanding. I'm not allowed to go from my house into the street or from my house into your house because one is going to make a mistake and think that he's also allowed to go into a real Rishus HaRab. That's one side. Or should you assume that Shlomo HaMelech said if you don't have an Erev Chatzeres, you're not even allowed to carry within one Rishus. You're not even allowed to carry if you have, let's say, lawn. You know, you have beach chairs in the street. You have whatever it is. You have things in your garden. You have things in your house. You're not even allowed to carry in your own, in one makom. Even where I have things in one constricted, in one confined place, I'm not even allowed to carry in there without an Erev Chatzeres. That's the suffix that the Bir Halacha has. Let's look at it together in number Beis on the sources. Says the Bir Halacha. Says the Bir Halacha, Pashadhu. It's obvious to me, says the Bir Halacha, De'eno aser rak lahotzi mi beisam umi beiso l'chatzer. Like you said, the only iser without an Erev Chatzeres is to carry, this is going to make a big nafkamina, we'll see soon, the only iser is to carry from my house into the garden, or from my house into your house. But to carry within my backyard itself, I have a string that's surrounding the backyard. So within the Rishus itself, that's for sure mutter. The only reason why Shlomo HaMelech was concerned, like you just said, the only reason Shlomo HaMelech was concerned is because you might confuse it with the Rishus HaRabim. But over here, where I'm just carrying within one domain itself, and I'm not leaving that Rishus, so that for sure would be mutter. Says the Bir Halacha, if I have chairs or a table outside in my backyard, I for sure would be allowed to carry them from one place in the backyard to another place in the backyard. That was never a shaila.
Wait a minute, but again, I thought the chatzeres is only involved if two people own the chatzeres. Not if I own the whole chatzeres, only me. That only house there is me.
Right.
I have a chatzeres. I can't, without an Erev. No, I mean, not without an Erev chatzeres. I can't go from my house to my own chatzeres?
No, that's you.
Right,
but
so
what if?
So
take for example, you have an apartment building. Here's where the example becomes very much alive. I live in an apartment building, right? So we have to make an Erev Chatzeres. So without an Erev Chatzeres, I would be allowed to carry in my own house, and you would be allowed to carry in your house. I would have said, Shlomo HaMelech came along and said, I'm not allowed to carry into the hallway, or I'm not allowed to carry into my neighbor. But what would be if there's a newspaper in the hallway? Am I allowed to take the newspaper in the hallway from this end of the hallway to that end of the hallway without an Erev Chatzeres? Is that mutter?
Sure, why not,
right? It should be mutter.
It's the same as being Mavir Dalaramas, it's not Rishus HaRabim, so what's the issue?
Right, so that's what the Mishnah Berurah was pointing out here. That's a very important point. The Mishnah Berurah says there was never a question whether in the hallway I'm allowed to carry something from here to there. It's just the problem was, Shlomo HaMelech was concerned you're going to confuse it with Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, we institute an Erev Chatzeres that you're not allowed to carry from your house into the hallway unless you make an Erev Chatzeres. But within the hallway itself, the Mishnah Berurah points out that that was always permissible. So that's a very important Bir Halacha to think about. And when we talk more about hotels and hospitals and cruise ships and different places like that, this is something we're going to have to keep in mind. Yeah. Okay. So let's... You mean the building? So it's owned by... It's not a co-op. It's owned by the landlord.
What is the hallway considered? What is
that? The hallway is considered a chatzer. The hallway is considered a chatzer, and each person has a bias that opens up into the chatzer. Okay, so we have this Gemara in Erev and Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Just a short Dvar Agada over here. The Gemara in Erev and Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis tells us that Shlomo HaMelech came along and made these two takanos. One of his takanos was Netilas Yadayim. One of the takanos that he made was Erev Chatzeres. So a baskol, the Gemara records that a baskol came out at the time that Shlomo HaMelech made these two takanas of Netilas Yadayim and Erev. Yatzus a baskol, says the Gemara, Erev and Daf Chafalef, and it said, V'amra b'ni im chacham livcha yismach libi gamani. You are such a chacham, Shlomo HaMelech, unbelievable chachma, that you came up with these two takanas of Netilas Yadayim and Erev Chatzeres. So Tosis over there asked the Kasha right away, what do you mean Shlomo HaMelech made other takanos also? Don't we know the Gemara in Yevamos in the second parak tells us Shlomo HaMelech made the takana of Shnius La'arayos? He made other Gzeris also. So why all of a sudden over here, punk, these two Isurim, these two Gzeris, all of a sudden he's considered a genius, a big Chacham? What's so special about these two? So Tosfos says, yeah, you're right. Well, a Baskol is not going to come out every time Shlomo HaMelech makes a Gzera. But these two he happened to have instituted at the same time. Okay, so the Baskol came out here. Fine. There's a beautiful vart that they say in the name of the Kutzker Rebbe, and that is as follows. He says that it's important for a person to understand that he needs to be in his life always like an Erev Chatzeres. He always has to be connected, he always has to be incorporated with a community, he has to associate himself with others, and he has to be on their level. He has to show that he is willing to be together with everybody else. But he says at the same time as you're trying to be a positive influence on others, he says a person always has to realize at that same moment that there's an Atila Sudaim, that he has to be Purish himself, he has to separate himself as well, he has to detach all that he looks up to, he has to detach himself from all that he's getting involved with others, and realize that there's a lot of personal and internal growth that he has to go through at the same time as he's putting himself in a category with others. Says the Kutzker Rebbe, that's what it means over here. Shlomo HaMelech makes these two takanas at the same time. He says, this is the genius, the person who figures out how to make that perfect synthesis, that perfect blend between the Mu'uravim Abrios, between the getting involved in community, between being incorporated with them, and at the same time separating himself and showing that he's really a step above them and he can withdraw from the activity of the rest of the community and grow on his own. That is what the Navi came out, what the Baskol came out and said, Chacham B'ni. For that, Shlomo HaMelech was called a tremendous Chacham, that he was able to figure out how to strike that perfect balance in his life. Okay, so now let's get down to the nitty-gritty halachos of Erev Chatzeres. So we said Erev Chatzeres is to make it that once we have a Karmelis Midrabanan, that we put around it a Erev as we know it, we put around it strings with a pole. It's a little bit confusing, because what we call an Erev is not really an Erev. What we call an Erev is really a Tzuras HaPesach. The real Erev, as it's called in Halacha, is Erev Chatzeres. So it's a little bit confusing, but for now, we'll call the regular Erev an Erev as well. So when we have an Erev around the city, we have the poles and the strings, so now we make an Erev Chatzeres, and the point of the Erev Chatzeres is to make it as if we all live in one house for Shabbos. So there are three ways that we could have done this. The greatest way to do that is, we should close up shop, tell everyone, Shabbos, you got to move out of your house, and move into the biggest mansion in the neighborhood. This is the way that we'll be matur carrying, because now we're actually all living in the same house. But I can imagine that that probably will not bring about any shalom bayis or any healthy family relationships. So therefore, Chazal gave us a couple of ways out to figure out how else we can make it as if, halachically, we live in one house, even though each person is staying in their own house. So the second way to do that is the following. We know by the halacha of Erev Tchumen that Adam is nikva after his pas. A person can be koveya, his makam dira for Shabbos, wherever he places his food. So the same over here, I can live in my house, I can sleep in my own beds, you can live in your house and sleep in your own beds. However, we'll all drop our food off in one person's house before Shabbos, and then that's considered as if we all live in his house. So So imagine, we're all going to have Shabbos meal together every Shabbos in one person's house, because we all dropped our food off, and everyone is now considered like they're living in one house. Well, I can imagine that will also get a little bit uncomfortable after a while. And therefore, the third Eitzah is the Eitzah that we all choose to use nowadays. And that is the following, that each person is just able to bring one piece of bread into one of the homes. And by each person contributing some bread into the house, so now we consider it like everyone is considered like living in this house because everybody left some food in one house. So therefore, the whole Rishus over here is considered like one Rishus. That's the way we generally make an Erev Chatzeres. Is that clear? Now you asked before, is that clear? Okay, now you asked before, we don't have an Erev Chatzeres. Now that is a little bit of a problem, because every single community needs to have an Erev Chatzeres in order to be Matthew to carry from...
Well, first of all, it's another problem, isn't it? And if I understand, if I remember, now I'm even wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Three people live in a Chatzeres.
Right.
So you can make an Erev Chatzeres. One person doesn't want to make the Erev, so can the other two make an Erev? Can the other two can make an Erev? No. So you live in Far Rockaway. You want to make an Erev. I want to make an Erev. He doesn't.
Oh, so we're going to get to that in 1 second. You're remembering correctly. Let's get to this in 1 second. Before we get there, we have to talk about, everyone decides, you know what, we're going to put the Erev in Shai Schechter's house. Okay, so we're all going to decide that that's the right house to put it in. What happens? Someone comes on Shabbos afternoon. My father said there was a guy who used to live in our building in Washington Heights who was a little bit... No. He was a Orthodox Jew. He just what? Whatever it is, he was a little sleepy on Fridays, let's just say, and almost every week he forgot to buy Lechem Mishnah. So my father said almost every week he would come downstairs and ask if he could take two matzahs from the Erev for the Lechem Mishnah. So officially you have to give it to him because he's part of the Erev, and the whole point of the Erev is that everyone should be able to use the Erev and eat from it, and that shows that we're all part of one house, we're all part of one Rishus. So this person used to come down every single week and ask that he forgot to buy his Chalas for Shabbos, so he used to ask that he should borrow from the Erev Chatzeres. So every single week they had to put up new matzahs for the Erev Chatzeres. So this type of situation, the Balabas who's holding on to the Erev must allow the person to take it. Because if the person shows up to my house and says, can I use two matzahs for my Lechem Mishnah? And I say no, so now I'm showing him that I'm talking not really connected with you. I don't want to share the food with you. If I don't want to share the food with you, it means we weren't mishtatev in the first place. It means we're not really considered part of one rishus, because when it came down to it, I wasn't willing to give you the food. So therefore, that would be a big problem. A person has to be very careful about that. It's as if, just the mashal mala davar dama, imagine you sell your chametz to a nachri on Erev Pesach. The nachri shows up on Pesach, on Chol HaMoed, and he says, well, I want a bottle of schnapps. And you say, hey, what do you mean? You can't take it. It's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. What do you mean? It is yours. And if you're going to be Meicha and say that it's not his, he's not allowed to take it, that shows he didn't sell it to him in the first place. So that's the same over here. We're all trying to be Mishtatev together in one Erev, and now when the person actually comes and he wants it, he wants to take it, I'm going to stand up and say, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to use the matzos, you're not allowed to use the challahs. Well, if that happens, then I'm showing that the whole Hishtatvos in the first place was not really a Hishtatvos at all. So we'll get to that in a few minutes as well. Okay, so generally what we do is, The Shulchan Aruch says that what a person's supposed to do is each family is supposed to give one challah, and with that we'll have an Erev Chatzeres because we're all going to gather together the challahs. However, that's also going to be a big mess nowadays when I'm going to go around to every family in Far Rockaway and take a challah. That's a little bit unreasonable. So that we have the concept of Zachin La'adam Shalom B'fanav, which means I will invest on behalf of the whole Far Rockaway community. I'll go ahead and buy a box of matzahs, and with that box of matzahs I'll be mezakeh on behalf, Zachon Adam Shalom B'fanav, I'll be mezakeh on behalf of the whole entire Far Rockaway community, that they should all have a chelek in these matzahs. Now, how does Zachon Adam Shalom B'fanav work? Let's look at number Dalid, which is the Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Nun Vav Amad Beis. Gemara tells us the following. Rabbi Eliezer Omar, we have a situation where a person is very deathly ill, and he wants to give away his money, he wants to give away all his property before he dies. But, little problem, it happens to be, it's on Shabbos. And I can't call on the phone to tell my kids to come and make a kinyan with me, so what am I supposed to do? So there are a couple of people by the bedside, but the people who I want to be yorish me are not here. So what am I supposed to do? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, to Shabbos Devarav Kayamin. If you have a situation where a person is deathly sick on Shabbos, and he wants to be mechalek his nechasim to his yarshim who are not here, so Rabbi Elazar says, Devarav Kayamin, I'm able to get up on Shabbos and say, I hereby am makne to this yorish who is not here right now. And how am I going to do that? With Zachan Adam Shalom Bafanov. The principle of Zachan Adam Shalom Bafanov. Says Rabbi Elazar, Mimpnesha, Ein Yachal Lichtov, Avalo Bechol. But during the week, when I have an option of making a kinyan, of making a kinyan shtar, when I have an option during the week, so Rabbi Elazar believes there is no such concept as Zachan Adam Shalom Bafanov. Okay, so Rashi explains, in Meshabbos Chilek Nechasav, Az Tiknu Chachamim, then the Chachamim were Mesakein, which is a strange Lashon. It sounds like Rabbi Elazar believes that this is a Dimin Durabanan. Zachan Adam Shalom Bafanov is a Dimin Durabanan. In fact, Tosis Asakasha in Ksubas Daf Yud Aleph, where the Gemara says over there that you're allowed to put a Ger Katan into the mikvah based on the principle of Zachan Adam Shalom Bafanov, right? He doesn't have Das. How is he accepting the Gerus? So Tosis says, based on the Gemara, that it's Zachan Adam Shalom Bafanov. Frak Tosis, if Zachan Adam Shalom Bafanov is only Midirabanan, so what are you going to say? He's only Jewish Midirabanan? What does that mean? So we'll get back to that in a few minutes, but that's a... Oh, so let's keep reading here. However, Rashi says, Avalo b'chol sheyesh takana b'kinyin uksiva lama titrof daito. However, Bishua disagrees with Rabbi Elazar. Let's look at the next line. Bishua says, B'Shabbos amru, we allow you to make this kinyin on Shabbos. Kalachomer b'chol. What do you mean? On Shabbos we allow you to make a ma'aseh kinyin mizachan l'anam shalab b'fana, but for sure during the week we'll allow you to do it. So Rashi says, "V'Shabbos Amr Shadvarav Kayamin Afag Abdulek Alameimar Migu Diachal Liknos V'Lichtov Kilo Avanami Kani V'Kavachomer Bechol D'Chalaroy L'Bila Ein Bila Makevus." Okay, Rashi is taking us into another world with that line, but basically, that is the Machlokas Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shua. Says the Mishnah Vayter, Kayotzebo. The same would be the case. We have a Machlokas by Zachin LeKatan. Am I allowed to be Mizaka something to a minor? We know that a Katan cannot really generally make kinyanim. So Rashi explains, Ho ve'en lo yad, since a katan himself cannot be kona anything, lizkos la'atzma mamon shenosin lo, tiknu chachamim sheye'acher zocher makaba letzorcho. There's such a concept as zachan adam shlo b'fanav, since the katan himself cannot make a ma'aseh kinyan, so there's a concept that we can give something to him through zachan. And this man the Amar holds, ain zachan l'gadol. There's no such concept as zachan adam shalom b'fanav for an adult. Why? Because the adult can come to my house and make the kinyan on his own. Why should we make up a new kinyan for him of zachan adam shalom b'fanav if he can do it in the real bona fide way of making kinyanim? Divrei Rabbi Elazar. That is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. Same way Rabbi Yeshua disagreed in the Reisha, Rabbi Yeshua now disagrees again, and he says, l'katan amru. There's a concept of zachan adam shalom b'fanav for a katan. There's also a concept of Zachan Adam Shalom Bafanav for a Gadol. Fine, so that is the Machlokes of Elazar and Bishua. What comes out of this? It turns out that this is a Machlokes whether, Rabbi Elazar and Bishua, whether the concept of Zachan Adam Shalom Bafanav is a Din D'Oraisa or it's a Takana D'Rabbanan. That's what it comes out of this Mishnah. It's a question whether Zachan Adam Shalom Bafanav is a Din D'Oraisa or a Din D'Rabbanan. The Psak HaMakubal, Halacha L'Maisa and Shulchan Aruch is, although Rabbi Baruch Ber in Kiddushin has a very difficult time pinning down the exact pasuk where we learn out the din Zachan Adam Shalom Bafanav, it's not simple. However, we paskin that for a gadol, Zachan Adam Shalom Bafanav is a din de'oraisa. We're allowed to be mezaka someone with an item mid de'oraisa based on the principle of Zachan Adam Shalom Bafanav. When it comes to a katan, what's the halacha? So Tosis in Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph has a suffix. If for a katan we consider Zachan Adam Shalom Bafanav to be a din d'oraisa, or only a din midirabana. Now what's the story with a akum? What's the story with being mezaka to a non-Jew? Generally, when we say Zachan Adam Shalom Bafanav, let's say I want to give a present to a non-Jew, he happens not to be here, so I can't make a ma'aseh kinyan with him. So what am I supposed to do? Is there such a concept of Zachan Adam Shalom Bafanav with him or not? So we have a Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. I forgot to put it on here, so I'll read it. The Gemara says, Lo shayach zechiyah la'akum. Why? Because since zechiyah is mitam shlichus, the only reason I'm allowed to be mezakeh something to somebody else is because we consider it like I'm your shliach. But there is no sort of parsha of shlichus between a Jew and a non-Jew. So since there's no type of shlichus for a non-Jew, so therefore we assume there's also no zechiyah for a non-Jew. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? There's no shlichus for a katan either. There's no such concept of shlichus for a katan. So if there's no shlichus for a katan, how can there be zechiyah for a katan? So the Gemara says, no, A katan, when he gets older, he will be able to make kinyanim on his own. But a akum, never. Akum, never. An akum can be megayer. Okay, then he's a different person. So that's obviously not going to be the same. So bottom line, what we come at halacha lemaisa by zachan adam shel b'fanav is, when it comes to a gadol, zachan adam shel b'fanav is kona midaraisa. When it comes to a katan, zachan adam shel b'fanav is 2 days and toises and bab metziah dafayim beis. And when it comes to a non-Jew, there's no question about it that we don't say zachan adam shel b'fanav. It's impossible to be mezakeh a non-Jew. When we talk about the din of zachan adam shel b'fanav, there's another very important machlokes ha'achronim that we have to discuss, and that is the following. The Ksos HaChoshen quotes from a Chumash HaDeshen. Ksos HaChoshen is in Reish Mem Gimel. So Ksos makes a diuk in the Gemara, and he says the only time we say zachan is zachan le adam shel b'fanav. We could be mezakeh to a person even though he's not here. For example, I have a big Yerusha, I'm on my deathbed, and the Yarshim aren't here, so I can't give it to them. So Zachan Adam Shel B'Fanav tells me I'm allowed to give it to them by some other means. But the Ksos HaChoshen says, what about Zachan Mei Adam? Is there a concept of being Mezakeh from a person? Now what does that mean? So he gives the following example from the Chumash HaDeshen. Let's say I have a situation where a person is making a whole batter, he's making dough, and he has to be Mafresh Challah. So the woman makes the dough, she has to be mafresh challah. Now she goes out to the supermarket and she gets stuck in the traffic that we have tonight. So what's going to happen? If she waits till she comes home and you're going to let this dough keep rising and rising, it's going to get spoiled. So the maid in the house, the employee, sees that there's going to be something wrong. By the time the balabuster comes home to be mafresh the challah, the whole thing's going to be ruined. So she decides on her own, zachan adam shel b'fanav, I'll do her a favor, and I'll go ahead and be mafresh the challah for her. I'll go ahead and be mafresh the challah on her behalf using the principle of zachan adam shel b'fanav. So does that work or not? So the Chumash HaDeshen says, why not? That's his chus. If I don't do it for her, the whole isa is going to become usur and it's going to get spoiled. So now I'm doing her a favor by saying zachan adam shel b'fanav. Says it says, no! The only time I could say zachan adam shel b'fanav is when I'm giving an item to you. When I'm giving something that you didn't have, now I'm calling it a schus for you. However, he says, for me to go and be mafresh your challah, I'm taking something away from you, that's not zachan adam shel b'fanav, that's zachan mei adam.
You can be mafresh somebody's truma.
Oh, you can be mafresh somebody's truma for them if you're a shliach.
Yeah,
no. No, that's shlichus. Shlichus is different. Over here, the chiddush of zachan is, I'm not a shliach. But we can make it as if, since it's a schus for you, it's as if you appointed me a shliach. So the Ksoi says that's only when I'm giving you something. So you're going to be happy that you're getting more. However, how can you say that Zachan Adam Shel B'Fanav works even when I'm not giving you anything? I'm just taking something away from you? That's not Zachan Adam. Even though in the overall perspective it's going to be a schus for me, it's going to end up good. But he says, bottom line is, I'm not giving you anything more than what you had. I'm actually, in fact, taking away from you. So that's what the Ksoi's tain is. Based on that, Rav Shlomo Zalman has a fascinating chiddush. He says he can't understand. We have this Gemara in Ksubas Daf Yud Aleph by a ger katan, that the reason you're allowed to put a ger katan in the mikvah and make him into a ger is because zachan adam shel b'fanav. Ask Rav Shlomo Zalman, what are you giving him? What are you giving him? You're taking away from him. How can you say zachan adam shel b'fanav? Zachan adam means I'm giving something from myself to you. But over here, what am I giving him? What? So you're saying you're giving him schar mitzvahs, but you're not actually giving him something. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, the Sabra Sa'ozin, he gives the following example. He says, let's say I have a person who never, Rahmana Latzlan, is in the hospital and he's in a coma and we know he's not going to eat for the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever. He's not waking up. Whatever it is. They put him in an induced coma. So now this person is not going to eat. So Shlomo Zalman says, you think it makes sense for the rabbi to come in and say, oh, well, he's not going to eat anyway, so you know what? Zachan Adam Shel B'Fanav, let me be Mekabel Tainus on his behalf for the next 3 weeks. He may as well get points for not eating in the next 3 weeks. So this person is not in the presence of being to make that Kabbalah Satinus. So Shlomo Zalman says, what do you think? Someone should come in and say, Zachan Adam Shel B'Fanav, let me be Mekabel on his behalf that he's going to fast for the next 3 weeks because he's not going to eat anyway. That's ridiculous. It can't be. So Shlomo Zalman says, I don't understand. How can you take a katan, put him in the mikveh and say, we're being mezakeh on your behalf that now you're chayit to keep mitzvahs? What does that mean? What kind of Zachan Adam Shel B'Fanav is that? He doesn't understand it. So Shlomo Zalman has a hard time understanding that. My father thought that his example is probably not such a good example. My father thought that there's makom to be mechalik, because over there's no mashmos to a fast day. You don't get points for fasting if you were in a coma and you were sleeping through the whole thing. Can't say a guy gets points for fasting on Yom Kippur. What?
He has no das.
He doesn't know what he's doing. So Shlomo Zalman's example is a little bit exaggerated. It's not exactly such a perfect example, because if a person fasts without even knowing that he's fasting, he probably gets no points for a tainus at all. He gets no points for anything. So that's just with regard to that. But that Shlomo Zalman is really coming off this Ksos HaChoshem, where the Ksos says the only time we could use the concept, apply the principle of Zachon Adam Shlomo Bafanav, is when we're talking about a situation where I actually give something to you, but not what I'm taking away from you. However, if you look in Shulchan Aruch and Yerudeya, Simon Shin Chav Ches, Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Trumas HaDashen. Shulchan Aruch paskins that if a Balabasta made an Isa, and now she leaves the house and it's going to get spoiled, so the Mishareses, the worker in the house, is allowed to be mafrish on her behalf, because we assume Zachin La'adam Shalom B'fanav. So you see that the Rama is understanding here that we even say Zachin Adam Shalom B'fanav in a situation where I'm taking something away from you. But if in the overall perspective it's going to be a schus, so we would consider that a schus bottom line, and we would apply the principle of Zachin La'adam Shalom B'fanav. So with that background in mind, so nowadays what we do is we don't have every person come and drop off a challah. We say one person should go out and buy a box of matzahs, and we'll explain why a box of matzahs is enough. We'll say in a few minutes. So one person should go out and buy a box of matzahs. How's it 9 o'clock already? Yeah, what happened? So does that mean it's good or bad? So one person's going to go out and buy a box of matzahs, and then through the principle of Zachon La'adam Shalom B'fanav, he's going to be mezakeh the whole entire neighborhood in this box of matzahs, and it's considered as if we're all living in my house, because we all have a shutvus in this box of matzos that's in my house. Now, how do I do a Zachon Adam Shalom B'fanav? How do I do it? How do I make that kinyan? So, although in Chosha Mishpat there is a machlekes whether or not for a kinyan, a mezakeh to others, I have to lift it up one tefach or three tefach, machlekes Rashi and Tosfos b'Metzia. However, over here the Shulchan Aruch says clearly in Shin Samach Vav Siv Ches that it's good enough if you pick it up one tefach. Why? Because it's just a din de Rabbanan. Erev Chatzeres is very kal. So therefore, we would assume that if you pick it up one tefach, the Mishnah Berurah says, that would be good enough for being makneh to others. Meaning, when I make the Zachon Adam Shalom B'fanav, I have to call somebody else in, and I have to ask this other person to make a kinyan on behalf of all of the other people who live in this neighborhood, who want to be mezakeh in the Erev. And this kinyan will now make us all considered like one big happy family. So we're going to get to those people in a few minutes. Those people are going to cause a big problem for all the rest of us.
How does this answer Shlomo Melech's worry? I mean, he was worried that I won't know, or he won't know, we don't know.
So that's what I'm saying. That's a big problem. I'll tell you just in Teaneck. I don't know what goes on here, but I'll tell you in Teaneck, there is an Erev Chatzeres for the whole neighborhood, which is in Rabbi Neuberger's house, and there's a sign in all the shuls hung up that says the Erev Chatzeres is hereby found in Rabbi Yaakov Neuberger's house. Says his address. You can go get it if you want. And if he goes away for Shabbos, they have to hang up a sign that there's a way to get into his house. Who has the key? I don't know. So there's no sign here anywhere that says.
They make one.
What?
Who makes it?
We don't have a sign that says he's an Erev.
Yeah. So there has to be an Erev Chatzeres in every neighborhood in order to be matur the carrying. So okay. Well, we'll bring it up in the next board meeting. Right? There's a board meeting this week. Next board meeting, you'll discuss it, that we should hang up a sign. What? So how long till the next one?
In each area, even though they're connected, say in the 5 times.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so one, if they keep connecting, one is good enough.
One is good enough.
Yeah. Meaning this Erev, I know the Erev in Teaneck, the Erev Chatzeres in Teaneck connects Teaneck, Bergenfield, Bagoda.
He also would connect.
Right, so here it probably would be
Right.
The stomach keeps going, but that doesn't take away from the fact that we need to know where it is. We need to know where it is. This way, we could really consider
first,
ourselves.
I don't know if there is one.
What?
Oh, come on.
No, there for sure is one. There's no question that there is one.
Erev Tavshilin, people forget the rabbi has a mind for
them. Right.
Even if they don't make it at all.
No. But over here, this is different. The nature of this din of Erev Chatzeres is much different. The nature of Erev Chatzeres is that I have to really feel like I'm living in your house. I have to feel like I'm living in Rabbi Yaakov Neuberger's house. So therefore, when you hang up the sign in shul, so everybody sees it and they say, well, that tells me that I'm really a permanent resident of Rabbi Yaakov Neuberger's house. It used to be, we'll talk about this maybe next week because we're running out of time already, it used to be in the olden days that they used to put the Erev Chatzeres in the shuls, in the Mizrach in the shul. If you go to Tzvat, you'll see in the shuls, in Europe, my father told me on the tours he went on, You see also that they used to have the Erev hanging in the shuls. Everyone should know, we're together, we're considered one house, we're considered one family, and we're all living together and eating the same food on Shabbos.
Yeah, the vision is the Rebbe.
Yeah.
Every Erev Shabbos.
Oh.
Every Erev Shabbos.
When it's used
so,
that's why the sacred Torah was possible. You know, he used to keep it...
So if I go into a hotel in Barakaway, and there is a neighbor, Kaseiros, I don't know where it is, but there is one.
Yeah.
So I don't have to worry now about going from the hotel, from my room to the lobby of the hotel, because there's one for the whole community.
Right. So we're going to talk about, you only came in later. Let's say, for example, you go to Florida. You don't live in Florida, so you go to a hotel in Florida for Shabbos. We'll talk about hotels next week or in 2 weeks. Well, what's the story of the hotel b'chlal? But let's assume you need a Erev in a hotel. So let's say you're in Florida. There is an Erev Chatzeres for the whole neighborhood. So you're included. So what's it going to help, though? Because the bottom line is, you came in after they made the Erev. They made the Erev 6 months ago, Pesach, and now you're coming in Purim time. So how does that help? So we'll explain how you can still be involved in the Erev even though you came in later. Fine. So we said over here we have the concept of Zachan Adam Shalom B'fanav. So how do I go ahead and make a kinyan of Zachan Adam Shalom B'fanav? So the way to do that is by calling somebody else in and asking that person to pick up the box of matzahs one tefach. And by picking up the matzahs one tefach, he is now hereby being Kona, the Erev, on behalf of the entire city and the entire neighborhood. So now, who is this other person that is qualified to actually be kona the Erev on behalf of everybody else? So look in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Shin Samach Vav Sif Yud. Very important halacha here. Says the Shulchan Aruch, the easiest thing for me to do would be to call in my son. My son is living in my house. What do I have to knock on the neighbor's door, ask him to make the kinyan for everyone? Call my son and ask my wife to do it. So does that work or not? Can they be mezaka on behalf of the whole neighborhood? So says the Shulchan Aruch as follows. When I'm doing a Zachan Adam Shalom B'fanav and I'm asking somebody else to pick it up on behalf of the whole entire community, Lo Yizaka Ayidei B'no Bito Aktanim. I shouldn't ask my young children to do the Zachan for them. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Sheyadon Ki Yado, because, what do you mean, they're living off me, they're living in my house. That doesn't count. It's like putting from my right hand to left hand. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Hafilu Meinam Sochlen Al Shulchano, B'la Ayidei Abdo B'Shevchasa Aktanim. However, Al Mezakehu Ayidei B'no Bito Agdol. I would be able to call in my child who's bar mitzvah already and ask him or her to be mezakeh in the Erev on behalf of the entire neighborhood. So you're asking, what do you mean? He's living off me. He's still living in my house. Shulchan Aruch says, no, because Lamaisa, if he goes and gets a job, right, he goes and he works somewhere and they pay him every week, right, the money doesn't go to you. The money goes to him. So therefore, we would assume that he would be allowed to make a kinyan. Vayide ishto.
The word never slipped, as we said at the beginning. How are you going to have this other kid?
I mean, all he's doing is he's being mezaka on behalf of everybody else.
But definitely not a shlip.
Right.
What's he
saying? So that's what he says. She yadon ki yado. It's nothing.
What?
He also has a nisa.
But he can't make a kinyan.
Oh, you're saying a katan can never make a kinyan?
Yeah.
And a chanami.
And a chanami.
No, the reason why the Shulchan Aruch has to say it is to contrast b'no bito hagedolim who are still living in my house. Meaning I have children who are 10 years old, I have children who are 20 years old living in my house.
Can I do it through somebody else's name? Through a neighbor's young kid?
No.
Can't do it through
I don't think so.
The kid is benefiting, just like everybody else.
It's true. It's true. The kid is benefiting. But he's part of that family.
He's
but
not doing it, I'll say, shlichus to the rest of the community. It's not working out shlichus.
He's making a kinyan on their behalf, so he has to have a yad. But in the Gemara says in Bab Metzia, the Gemara talks about a katan picking up a metzia. Katan who walks down the street, he finds a metzia.
Right, you take it away from him.
So the din is, meikar din, you're allowed to take it from him. Just mepnei darkei shalom, because the father's going to go punch you when he finds out that you stole the diamond ring that his son found in the street. So mepnei darkei shalom, the Gemara says, in order that everyone should get along, you're not allowed to take away that which a katan picks up. What do you see from there? You see from there that a katan has no...
So when you do it with a gadol, what's the agency? How does that take place?
Oh, so what do? I call in an adult. I ask the adult to please pick up the box of matzahs, and that is a maisa kinyan, hagba. Ask him to pick it up one tefach, and by picking it up a tefach, he's being zocha in them on behalf of everybody else, based on the principle of Zachan Adam Shel B'fanav. So now, the Shulchan Aruch says, now what about a person's wife? Is my wife allowed to be the person being kohen on behalf of the city. So says the Shulchan Aruch, Ayidei Ishto, Afal Pishu, Ma'al Lamazonos, even though I'm supporting my wife, just like I'm supporting my children. So says the Shulchan Aruch, that that's a whole question. Yesham She'en Mazak, Ayidei Bino, Bito, Asamchan Al Shulchano. What? So this is a whole discussion, but then if you look in the end, the bold part, it says, L'chatchila, tov lachosh l'divrei shneim hecha de'efshar. So it's best, the Shulchan Aruch suggests, the best thing to do is to call in the neighbor, call in somebody else, not someone who's living off me, not my wife, not my children, even if they're gdolim. The best thing, l'chatchila, to do is that a person should call in a neighbor who's a gadol and ask the neighbor to be mezaka in the erev on behalf, to be zoch in the erev on behalf of the entire community. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch Chayshem Mishpat and Reish Mem Gimel Sif Yud Dalid, the Mechaber paskins that when it comes to being mezaka in other areas, not just over here, when it comes to other areas of halacha, so it's not considered a good zechus to do it with my wife. For example, that original case we started with, when a person is on his deathbed and there's nobody here, so he wants to give the assets to certain relatives, but they happen not to be here. So can he call in his wife and ask her, please, make a kinyan with me, to be zocha on behalf of the rest of the yarshim, who I want to be yarishmi. So the Shulchan Aruch and Chayshem Mishpat writes that it's not right to really make that zechus ayidei ishto, because the wife is really considered like mashkan ishto kanabat. It's like the right hand giving to the left hand. So really, it's not really proper to make a kinyan with one's wife. Now, what would be the halacha if a person comes into a city? Let's say the example we just gave. You go down to Florida, and you're saying, once you go to Florida, you already want to be considered a part of the Erev, or you just moved into the neighborhood, right? So now you moved in. When do we make the Erev? You moved in before Pesach? After Pesach. No, so we made the Erev Pesach. So how can you be mishtatav in the Erev? We already made the Erev way before you moved in. So how can you be a part of the Erev? Zachan Adam. So you're saying we can say Zachan Adam even for a person who's not here?
That's Shalom
B'Fanim. Shalom B'Fanim. He's Shalom B'Olam. We don't even know that he exists. I mean, when he moves in, we also don't know he exists. But the so the person's not here. So what is this? This smells like a sugya of Breira. Right? That's the whole question of Breira. Am I allowed to do something now when it's not Mavur? It's not clear exactly
whom
it's going to and what it's going for. So right now I'm making a kinyan on the Erev Pesach for the 500 people that live in my neighborhood. But what about the 501st family that moves in and was not here at that point in time? So let's look in Shulchan Aruch in Simen. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have it here. So in Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Samach Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch points out that we make a stipulation when we make the Erev and we say that we want to be... Sorry, no, this is in Shin Samach Vav. Sifches. Do I have that here? No, I didn't have it on the sheet. I'm sorry. So he says that the Shulchan Aruch paskins that when we make an Erev, we have to stipulate clearly that we're making the Erev v'ad kol misha yitosef meyom hazev elach. Not only are we making the Erev for those who live in the city right now, we're also including in the Zechiyah all those who are going to move in before next Pesach. Now, how can we do that? It's a problem of Breira. We don't know who we're making the kinyan for. Is it for this family or for that family or for people who are going to move in later? So we assume the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that by dinim derabanan we paskin yesh breira. It's okay. You don't have to worry about breira. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes over here very clearly. So by dinim derabanan, since we paskin yesh breira, so there's nothing to be concerned about. What was that?
Isn't breira when it's in existence? Doesn't breira have to have something in existence? You just don't know which way it's going to work out.
I mean, the person does exist. He just doesn't live in our neighborhood.
You don't have to worry about Pesach.
What?
Also,
yeah. What?
It's not the question only if you go down to Florida for Pesach. I mean, the neighbor is moving in tomorrow.
Right. Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. So that's the same question. So now, just we'll do the one last point. Obviously, this is going
to
take us.
You only have to make an Erev once in your life?
So Me'ikra Adin, I'm allowed to make an Erev once for the next 35 years. I can do it once for the next long, long, long time. That's Me'ikra Adin, that is the pshat. The only reason... Yeah, so we'll see in the Ramah in a few minutes a little bit about that. Okay.
Under that concept,
Yeah.
Somebody who wasn't born yet. It's a blow balalu.
Uh-huh. Could be.
Yeah, but you don't need everything.
I mean, that's a question. I asked my father, what about a ger? Ask my father, what about a ger? What do you say about him? A ger was, for all intents and purposes, he was lo bal olam. So how can you say that a ger is able to be mishtatef in our Erev? We made the Erev Pesach. Now this ger moves into the neighborhood or lived in the neighborhood and now he's Megayer. He's so inspired by us. So if you're a little chassidish from Harborview, you can say the neshama existed. I don't know. If you're not, so what's the pshat? Al pi halacha, how can you explain, how is the ger able to be mishtatev in the Erev? What's the pshat here? So my father thought that that wasn't a question. I don't know. Rabbi Sabalovsky, when I spoke to him about this, I don't know if anyone knows him, but when I spoke to him about it, he thought that this was a really major question that the poskim really have a very difficult time explaining. My father didn't see that that was any worse than a person who moves into our neighborhood. No, we had in mind for anyone who's going to move in, and even if he wasn't around now, we say Yesh Be'er by Diyam de Rabbanan. My father didn't see any problem of a ger. Right.
It's not any different than any baby.
Ah.
So by the time the next Pesach rolls around, he's already...
Yeah, well, we're about 35 years later, but
could be.
35 years old.
It could be. Okay, so let's just get to our last point for tonight, and then we'll continue next week. What's the halacha, as you mentioned before, what's the halacha if one person in our community of 500 families decides he's not interested? You know, you always have in communities, people are fighting over the Erev, right? They don't want an Erev, they don't want an Erev, whatever. They do want an Erev. So, some people go around and rip down the strings. Some Rishon go around and rip down the strings. I have a much better Eitzah.
Yeah, just
say, I'm not interested in being mishtatev in the matzos. That's a much easier thing to do. Then no one's allowed
they
to carry.
They don't know how to learn that.
Oh, that's they don't know how to learn.
Not as much fun.
But Lamaisa, this is a big problem. In Shin Samach Zayin, it says in Shulchan Aruch as follows: if a person hears about the Erev, since this whole Erev is based on the concept of Zach and the Adam Shalobafanav, right? One person buys the box of matzahs and gives it to everyone else based on the concept of Zachin. So since it's based on Zachin, so if one person says, I'm Moche, I'm not interested, I don't want this chus, so it's a schus for him, it's not a schus anymore. So now what happens? So now I have 499 families that are all considered like one. And now I have
one guy that's not.
Means
that chatzir is now usher.
So that chatzir is now usher. So now it means in our community of 500 families, we look at it as if there are two families now. If we would have all been together in the Erev, so there would have been 500 families living in one house. Now that one person gets up when he hears about it and says, I don't want the schus, I'm not interested. So now we look at it as if there's 499 families living in one house, and then there's one family living in the other house. So now that you have two Jews living next to each other, the Takana of Shlomo HaMelech comes back. So it's Taka Aser. So that is a major, major, major problem. What do you do if this person decides he doesn't want to be Mishtatev in the Erev? So in fact, in Shulchan Aruch and Yerideya, we find the same type of concept. We have a situation where you're matvil a ger katan. In Hilchas Geirus, so it talks about that Gemara in Ksubas, you're matvil a ger katan. Now what happens when he gets older? So the Gemara says, Higdili yucholam limchos. If he gets up later on and he says, I'm not interested, so he's gone. In fact, I had a person in high school with me in Eretz Yisrael who found out in 11th grade that his mother was not Jewish, and after 12th grade he walked away. He wasn't interested. He wanted to graduate high school, so he continued on for a year and a half and didn't tell anybody. And after 12th grade, he said he's out. He wasn't interested. So the Pischei Tshuva in Yerideya, in fact, writes, B'Shem Lechsam Sofer, that is Mevatel the Geirus in the first place. It's not that we consider it retroactively. Lemafreya, everything's gone. It's as if nothing ever happened at all. So if I have one Meshugan in the town who decides he doesn't want to be Mishtatev in the Erev, that's a great way of ushering everybody from carrying on Shabbos. So what do we do in such a case? So the Shulchan Aruch says, what?
Don't let that happen.
Right, so don't let it happen. So it's not so easy not to let it happen. There's always Meshuggahs.
Well, there are people, let's say, forgetting the Erev Hatzeres.
Yeah.
There are people who go back, they don't believe in the Erev Pesach, Tzuris HaPesach either, right?
Right.
So if they don't believe in that, can they still, is that?
That's Pesach.
No, that's not their problem.
Does that answer also the Erev Hatzeres, which is built? First, you have to have both. I mean, you have to have both.
Uh-huh. Meaning, they didn't get the first base.
They didn't get the first base.
Right? Uh-huh.
They're passive.
Yeah. It doesn't ruin the Erev.
No, it doesn't ruin the Erev.
Yeah, the Tzuris HaPesach, because we look at it like there are walls up. It only it's an interesting point you're making. So maybe someone's going to tie in, oh, since I could have a meshugan in the town who's going to make us think about it and say I don't want to be zoch in the Eruv, since I could always have the potential of having such a meshugan, so maybe I shouldn't make a bracha, it's a suffix. Oh, how do you make a bracha on mitzvah's Eruv? It's a suffix. Maybe one crazy guy is going to be mevatel the Eruv, then we're not going to have an Eruv, so how do I ever make a bracha? Teretz is, it's a milsa lo shchicha, you're going to have some crazy person in the town that's not going to want to carry on Shabbos. And the same is by a ger katam. We don't say that just because a ger katam, when he gets older, maybe he's going to turn around and say, I don't want this chus, I don't want to be Jewish. So we don't say that you shouldn't make a bracha at the time of the geris. Of course we make a bracha at the time of the geris.
By somebody not carrying on Shabbos, he doesn't believe whatever.
Yeah.
He's not carrying.
Yeah.
So isn't he, by definition, being mevatel the eruv? He's saying, I'm not interested.
No. No, it's two different things.
One is
active. I'm saying I don't want the schus in the air of chatzeris. I'm saying I don't want to have any part in those matzahs. Means I'm not being mishtati with the rest of the community. So that's a major problem. So in Shulchan Aruch it says over there, in such a case, the Shulchan Aruch says that b'nei ha-chatzar o ha-bezin nechnasim l'to chatzero v'kofen oso afilu bal karcha ad sheyaskim l'shtati v'imoyim. Yeah, we'll get to the bottom of this when we have such a situation where a person is mocha. So the Shulchan Aruch says we have every right.
Everybody in your building is willing to go into Chaserus?
You're saying the non-Jews? You're saying the non-Jews?
Non-Jews, Jews. You
don't have to ask everybody, right? So you assume, it's only when a person
specifically
says, I don't want. It's only when a person specifically says.
The community has a, they buy the reshus, they pay for the reshus.
Right. So we're going to...
That reshus, since every person that lives there, Jew, non-Jew, from Jew, non-Jew...
So the schiras reshus, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that in the coming weeks, but it says clearly in Shulchan Aruch that the schiras reshus only works for non-Jews and not for Jews. So that's... whatever, we'll get to that. We don't know about that yet. As of now, we're living in a little shtetl where everyone's Jewish, and that's the situation. We'll get to... So we'll get to some more in the coming weeks. Bezrat Hashem. Okay. Let's just look a quick vart on the back I saw from Rav Schwab, a very beautiful vart in the Me'ein Beis HaShoever. Rav Schwab writes, that right in the middle, over here, of all the Makos, Moshe and Aaron are talking to Paro, all of a sudden the Pasuk says, Moshe ben Shmonim Shana Ba'aron ben Shalosh Shmonim Shana Bedaber Mel Paro. What's going on here? All of a sudden, in the middle of the whole story, you have a comic interlude here. We say, Moshe Rabbeinu is 80 years old, by the way. A word from our sponsor, Aaron was 83. What does that have to do with anything? Who cares? It's not a storybook. What?
I could have known he was 80.
Right.
Because he died when he was 120, back 40 years.
Okay, it's true. But what do we need to know this for? Who cares that when he was talking to Paro, he was 80 and his brother was 83? Says Rav Schwab, a beautiful pshat. Look in the second paragraph. He tachin, shebechlal dipurim al Paro. Part of the speech that they were giving Paro was, they were mocking him. They were saying, look, you made a gzera on Klal Yisrael, it wasn't the skyim, it didn't work out, we're still here. You made a gzera, we should work harder. Everybody, you know, look, you're getting the makas now. So he says, Sharei lefnei shmonim shana gazarto kala ben hayilad hayora tashlichu. Moshe Rabbeinu is pointing out to him, 80 years ago, you made a gzera when I was born, kala ben hayora tashlichu, va'az nolad Moshe. Here I am, 80 years old. 80 years old, 80 years after your takana that you said, all the boys should die, here I am alive and kicking, I'm strong, and I'm fighting with you. 3 years before you made that gzera, you also made a gzera, and ben huva amita noso, you have to kill the boys. That was the year that Aaron was born. So Rav Schwab points out that this is why, all of a sudden, in the middle of the whole conversation with Paro and the whole negotiation between Moshe and Aaron and Paro, so the Torah finds it very important to point out that Moshe is 80, Aaron is 83, because they were sticking it in Paro's face. They were showing him, you think you made takanas, you think you made gzeras to destroy us? Look at us. Both at the precise moments and the precise times that you made the gzeras against us, that's when we were born, and here we are, giving you the opposition that you never expected to have from the Jewish people. That's a beautiful vart from Rav Schwab. Everyone should have a wonderful evening.